Okay, we'll do another hour of Miracle Moment Open Lines, and then tomorrow night, again, our live Christmas program for you. And yes, we will run some Christmas and holiday bumper music as well. And then that'll be it. You won't hear Christmas music again until next Christmas. So we're tracking Santa tonight. Right now, he's over Nome, Alaska, and then he's heading out for Hilo, Hawaii. Santa's driving a little erratically tonight. He's bouncing all over the planet. I think he got into a little reindeer juice or something. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Merry Christmas. It's now official, isn't it? Let's go to Schertz, Texas. John, you're up with us on the wild card line. Hey, John, go ahead.
Mark Jonathan, and I apologize for earlier. I got disconnected, and I want to be patient, or I'm learning to possess my soul with some patience here, and I thank you for your question earlier, and I was going to tell you the story about what happened when I had my accident with a Vietnam vet fellow, that, and I wonder if that was okay. I don't want to impose, though.
Go ahead real quickly.
Oh, okay, sure. Well, you had asked, what happened there, and I take it you have some insights into that and things, so I was kind of curious.
Oh, 9 years Navy for me, John.
Wow, yes, sir. Okay. Well, at the time, I had a pretty serious accident. I had some back early. I was pretty young, and I had an accident. Basically, it was kind of interesting. I hit an 18-wheeler head on, and I was kind of sick at the time. I was going through the teenage years. Had just started driving. Was not living with father at the time, and was struggling or working a day and trying to go to school. Anyways, I hit an 18-wheeler. There was a Vietnam vet fella came up right away. He was right on top of it, kept me from going into shock. They had to pry me out of the car. They sent me to place. At the time, when I hit the truck, I kind of said, oh, Lord, I felt this connection, but, not anything much, hard to even describe to you. You know what I mean? And then years later, now, as I was saying earlier, as I started to read and seek after God, even though I felt that presence, and it's like we're all connected some way, shape, or form. I don't know how to explain, But I really started reading a lot, then I really seemed to get a deeper, I really got some real things out of it. My life seems to be changing for real things that I'm learning from him, and things like that. And I don't know about all the things that people, all the different ideas and concepts of things. I'm just, thankful for the time you regave me there. Thank you. Sorry for the delay I created.
No, not at all. Not at all. And have a Merry Christmas as well. I think what I had asked you also was what took you so long to find yourself, but it doesn't matter. You finally did. And that's the important thing. Let's go next to Martin in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, Martin, hey. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
I think you're great, and I love all of your audience, Coast listeners. This is a great miracle story for me and my family.
Okay, love to hear.
And it's kind of lighthearted, and then it's dead serious at the same time. So anyway, when holidays at my mother-in-law's house, she always made them very special, and we'd be, sitting around getting ready to eat, and she'd be placing food on the table, and while she was, I have quite a sense of humor, and a sense of humor means a lot to me and my family. Anyway, I had, turned my kids onto a whoopee cushion. anyway, while she was putting food on the table, we would try to slip the whoopee cushion under people's feet, and it'd be hilarious, and if we could, especially with people expecting it, you'd have to be very creative to try to slip it under them and trick them. But anyway, so those were great holiday moments, and this is really something we did.
Now those things are digital, Martin. They come, they're real little small things. They're pretty easy to trick people now.
Right. Anyway, now we get to the serious part.
All right.
One of my sons, I have two, died in a terrible boating accident. And his brother was driving at the time, the boat, and it was not his fault at all. There were some people that had been drinking and were very dangerous. Anyway, Okay. Well, anyway, years later, you know, when someone dies like that, you feel a lot of guilt. Mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, later, I have it was my birthday. My wife and I have the same birthday. Okay. And we were celebrating our birthday. This was years later, maybe eight years later or so. Mm-hmm. And my other son, we had sent him, we were waiting at a restaurant for him. My other son had, we sent him to get my father-in-law, who has Parkinson's, at a VA hospital. And he never did that. It was kind of odd. I always did it, but he was doing us a favor, and he went to pick him up for us. Anyway, we're sitting there eating, waiting on my son, and he came, and he said, you won't believe this. He said, I was at the door of the VA as I was going to get Grandpa. There was this a whoopee cushion laying on the asphalt. And anyway, that just freaked us out, and it was like a gift from our son, letting us know he was okay.
Yeah.
At the same time, it relieved my son. It let us know he was all right. And at the same time, it was lighthearted and just relieved my son of a lot of guilt and worry about his brother. And,
absolutely. That's a great message, Mark.
Anyways, I'd just like to also tell people that their loved ones visit them, you know, and keep your ears and eyes open, because synchronicities and things take place, and they visit, and
it works. It works, Martin. It sure does, and you have a great Christmas. Let's go to Anna in Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hey, Anna.
Hi. November 30th, my husband and I were sitting having a chat, and he giggled, and he went, and with that, he was gone. Suddenly, unexpectedly, out of the blue.
Heart attack, just like that.
Yep. They call it a million-dollar death, and I guess it is for the person who goes. However, I've been getting these little he's letting me know he's around. He never liked when I fussed over my hair or my makeup. Tonight, I'm getting ready to go to a relative's house to spend Christmas Eve. My curling iron broke.
would he do that to you?
Yeah, because he liked me just the way I was. He didn't like all this fuss and bother. He just loved me plain and simple.
Well, unconditionally.
Unconditionally. And then he was wearing a particular shirt, and these buttons keep turning up that still have the threads on them. When I got up to make the phone call just now, right here on my nightstand is one of those buttons. My grandson was visiting the other night. When my grandson left, I looked down on the floor. I thought it was a piece of cat food from one of my cats. I went to pick it up. We had been talking about him, remembering him fondly. It was one of those buttons. And it's not like I haven't vacuumed since or anything else. They keep turning up. So the final point of getting ready tonight, I went into a sweater drawer in the bureau to pull out a sweater to put it on. It had been tucked in between two of his, and I go to put it on, and it smelled of his aftershave. And so I know he's with me, and I know he's at peace. I know he's in heaven, but I know he's still looking out for me, because he keeps leaving me these little clues. And I just want to say Merry Christmas, Bill. I bet it's the best one you ever had in your life in heaven.
I love it. Thanks, Anna. Great story. Let's go to British Columbia. We've got Cole there on the international line. Cole, good morning to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
You too.
And all the people that listen. I'm trying to send you guys out all just light and blessings. And I wanted to say about the miracles that I think that miracles happen to us each day. And we miss them. You know, there's the big ones. You know, I was up on a mountain working, and I got hit by a rock and went rolling down the mountain and hit a tree, and just like within inches missed hitting my head. My ear got ripped off. But But the thing was, it was a miracle, because if I would have kept going, there were all these big, huge rocks down at the bottom. As soon as I came to, I knew I had just been saved by something, you know. And I
Oh, you would have been crushed. And did they reattach your ear?
Yeah, yeah. I'm an artist, so, like, it's sort of Van Gogh-ish, so it's okay. Yeah, actually, you can't even see the scar. But, yeah, so that's the thing that I'd like everybody to remember, is that miracles are happening around us all the time. And even though there's all these energies that try and take our power, that if we look at all our blessings and see all the miracles, that things will be okay. Sometimes we think that it's supposed to happen this way, and it doesn't happen that way. But I try and remember. Quite often I forget, you know, being human and all. But I just know that whatever is supposed to happen is going to be a good one. And if the one that happened didn't happen, then whatever is going to happen next is going to be good, because I know it in my heart. And when you know it in your heart and you walk the truth, then only good things really come, you know.
Cole, what was it like rolling down that mountain? I mean, what were you thinking? I guess it was going
well,
by
I wasn't thinking
too fast.
Anything.
No, you don't. It just goes by too quickly.
This rock, boulder, I call it now. I used to call it a rock, but nobody gets the picture. It was a boulder, actually, and we have really heavy rocks around here with a lot of iron and ore embedded in the rock all over the place, and can't get radio signals in lots of places just because of the...
What were you doing up there? Were you a geologist?
I was working. I was unemployed, and we had our unemployment had a special program that allowed people to go out and do work, and they gave them a little bit, you know, the top up of how much you could get, and it was more than I was getting, so I went out to work, and we were thinning trees so that they could go and log them. But it was the first day, and we were just talking about what we were going to do, and we got up for lunch, and the guy above me, because it was a slide site, knocked the rock down, and it hit me, and I as soon as it hit me, it knocked me out. It took me weeks to remember what happened. But
so you didn't even know what was going on. You rolled down this mountain. You weren't even awake.
No, I was knocked out. And but I asked my boss, like, I was trying to figure out how far I fell. And I don't think he really wanted to tell me, because he didn't want, like, you know, consequences, how, you know, things go like that. But he said, I don't know, but you did the best tuck and roll I've ever seen. You know, and I remember being back in those PE classes doing the tuck and roll for years, and I hated every minute of it.
And
you know?
your body kicked in, and you were able to save yourself. That is amazing, though, just being knocked out for 2 weeks, basically. Denver, Colorado, we go. Tony, good morning. You're up with us this Christmas Day.
Hello, George. Merry Christmas.
You too, Tony.
I was just in agreement with the last caller on miracles, that you know, there's different kinds of miracles, from biblical proportions to smaller miracles that happen every day in our life that we look at, you know. But I wanted to tell you about one that happened to me in particular.
Sure thing.
That happened with Christmas time, and every Christmas I think about it. I don't know how old you are, but
I am 59.
When everybody used to hitchhike around the country.
Oh yeah, I remember.
When there would be on the freeways, you know, lines of people hitchhiking all over the place. Anyway, I was one of those people, and I was out in Spokane, Washington, one Christmas, and my mother wanted me to come home, and she sent me money to come home
to
anyway. I ended up spending it, you know, partying. I blew it. And I did not know how to get home. I called up my mom. She was crying. I didn't know what to do. And, you know, at that time, it was the hippie days. You know, I went to the church. I went to the Catholic church there. I went into the cathedral, and I went in there, and I was just feeling really bad, and I was just praying. And there was nobody in there, and all of a sudden, this priest came, and he was dressed like more like a monk, you know, and he came up and he came sitting next to me, and he said, you look pretty down and out. And I told him the whole story of what I had done. And so he reached, I don't know where, he didn't even have pockets, but he gave me some money. He said, here, how much are you going to need to get home? And back then, I think the ticket was like $65 to get home, and I told him. So he gave me the money, and I was so grateful. So he left, and then he came back again. He said, well, now you're going to, you know what, that's not enough money. You're going to need some money to eat on the way over there. So he gave me a few more dollars. He left.
What a guy.
He came back again, and he said, you know what, that's still not enough money. And I told him, you know what, I can't take no more, Father. This is enough. This is great. I'm really thankful for you. And so anyway, I ended up leaving there. I asked him before, when we were closing our conversation there, I asked him, Father, where can I get a hold of you at so I can send this money back to you? And he told me then, he said, well, you know how you can pay me back. Someday you're going to find somebody in the exact same position you're in right now, and you're going to give them that money, and you're going to help them out. And so I've already done this several times. But when I got home back to Denver, I ended up getting a job here, and I called back to that church, and I asked them about this priest, and I was describing them to them and stuff, and they said, we have no priest like that around here. They said years ago we had a monastery out of town that was kind of that had those kind of priests, but they're not here no more. So anyway, that's my Christmas story, and I think of it every Christmas.
I love it, Tony. Good for you.
Well,
good for
Merry
you.
Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you, and the advice was great and well taken. I think if everybody helps one other person and they just keep passing it on, I'm telling you, you can't imagine just how it grows. It really does. Mike in Cincinnati, east of the Rockies, let's squeeze you in, Mike, in about a minute. Can you do it?
Absolutely, George. Thank you for taking my call. Actually, we spoke last night, and I had mentioned an encounter I had where I believe I met two angels, and they told me that I would experience certain things in my life because I could. And one of those things was actually shattered my spine. And on two separate occasions, and found myself completely paralyzed. Was able to recover a bit and was going in for more surgery, and had one of the best neurosurgeons in the world. Surgeon, his best hope was to keep it from getting worse. He took what was supposed to be a 2.5-hour surgery, took over 13 hours to complete because of some complications. And the 6-month follow-up to that surgery was where the miracle really started to show. He came into the room and ecstatic, had MRI, said, this is what I did in your surgery. This is what you look like now. Who did this? The titanium plates he had implanted in my spine had all been straightened perfectly. All the cages, all the hardware he put in were a completely different shape than what he put in. In short, everything that he couldn't fully correct somehow was completely corrected, and I have zero deficit to this day.
And nobody knows who did it. That is amazing. We'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue this holiday moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, now it's Christmas morning, and we're going to be live with our Christmas day-night program for you. A number of Coast to Coast guests will be joining us throughout the evening with their Christmas stories of past. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls throughout the evening as well with your Christmas stories, some of your favorite stories, some of your emotional stories as well. What we're doing tonight is taking your special moments, your miracle moments, right here on Coast to Coast AM. You know, we're on 528 radio stations, Stream, Link, and XM. And a lot of our stations over the years are now getting used to the fact that we've got live programming for you on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day night. So they're starting to carry that portion of Coast to Coast live as well. Matter of fact, a couple program directors called me over the last couple days going, What's the theme going to be like? You know, my boss, he wants me to play Christmas music. And I said, trust me, you'll like it. So they've got our programs. But if you aren't getting the program off your radio station tonight, you're picking it up off of Streamlink, for example, or XM or some other source, maybe a far out station, you might want to just call your program director on Monday and say, look, next year, don't give us just Christmas music. And let's go to the phones. Hey, how about this? Santa apparently calling in, heading off to Japan. I know he was heading toward Hawaii. Hello, Santa.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Great, Santa. So it's been a pretty easy night for you tonight, huh?
Oh, yeah. A real easy night indeed. Cover a lot of turf, just like you do on the show.
You've been a little erratic tonight, Santa. You're all over the map.
Well, it's like that every year, but during the rest of the year, me and the elves, we listen to you every night.
Well, you're good people. How many toys did you make this year?
Oh, God, don't ask. I don't even want to think about it. It's coming to an end. Listen, George, I wanted to say that I've had special notice of you ever since you took over the show, and I can't help but notice how exceedingly good you are, exceedingly nice you are.
Well, that's because I want my Christmas presents from you every year, Santa.
Well, listen, I think because of your just absolutely first-class tolerance and gentleness and kindness, you should get a special gift.
Mm.
And I have in mind, I think you know that a person doesn't have to be royalty to give other people titles in some cases.
That's true.
Sir Charles Schultz, for example, he got his title from a British baron. Well, I'm a Canadian baron up here in the North Pole. That's where I keep my headquarters, is in Canada. And I can give titles, too. So I think for your excessively heroic tolerance and gentleness and kindness, George, you should henceforth, without let or taxation, be known as Gentleman George Norrie.
I sound like a wrestler.
No. You are the ultimate gentleman of Radio Land. I don't think there's a gentleman whose word stretches across the world as much as yours. So henceforth, George, Gentleman George Norrie.
Thank you so much, Santa. Enjoy the trip and the rest of the holiday.
Okay. Thank you ever so much, George, and Merry Christmas to you and everybody in Radio Land.
You too. There he is. Santa Claus calling in, heading now for Japan after making his stopover in Hawaii. Thanks for checking in with us, Santa. Eugene, Oregon, we go. Michael, you're up with us west of the Rockies. Hey, Michael.
Hey, gentlemen, George. I love it. I think you're a wonderful person. I love so much listening to your show. Let me say, I think you're truly one of the miracles of Christmas. I really do. It's a miracle show that you have, and I want to share a miracle that happened tonight with me.
Sure.
But it's such an honor to talk with you again. And I know you feel blessed to be a host of this show. I laugh so much listening to it. I have a smile from ear to ear. But it's like I went out tonight, and I was a lone caroler. And I went shopping with my daughter today, and I didn't spend a lot of money or anything. But it's like I was going around, and tonight I went out as a lone caroler. And it's like I met these people downtown, and there was a mother and their three children. And they were waiting for the stoplight on the corner, and it's like, I was asking them about, do you believe in Santa Claus? And I heard your show last night. And it's like they were looking at me like, who's this weird guy? You know, and it's like, I don't drink or anything. I don't do drugs. And it's like, I'm just spreading goodwill. And it was so much fun. And they're looking at me, and I'm explaining to them that it's like it's all about the spirit of Christmas, and that's what it's all about. And the mother was kind of leery of me, I think, and they were about ready to cross the street, and I looked over, and I saw this car coming down the street, and it had no lights, and it's like if the children were to cross the street, they would have been hit by this car. And I stepped out, and I said, wait, and the car went whizzing by, and it's like the mother looked at me, and she said, thank you. And I said, it isn't me. I feel honored that I am the vessel of the message. And it's like, I'm sure that you feel that way, that you are blessed with the show.
Every night.
You know, I really do. And it's like, I just want to say prayers for your friend. Let me assure you that with all the millions of prayers that you're getting through the show, that he's going to be just fine. Okay? He's going to be just fine. And I'm looking to talking to you again. And look for my emails, because we are truly all a part of God. Merry Christmas to you, okay?
You too, Michael.
Okay, I love you, guy.
Pretty touchy. Painesville, Ohio. Edward, first-time caller. Hey, Edward.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Okay, Edward. Fine.
I want to thank you for all the work that you do for Children's International. I'm a sponsor, and I sponsor 5 little girls.
Oh, good for you. Thank you.
Believe me, they're a joy, and they are beautiful. And but I just wanted to call and thank you for all the work that you do with them. Because you got me started about 2.5 years ago. because I listened to you and I said, well, I called, and the next thing I know, 2 years later, I got five little girls, and so now here I am.
Well, you know, they approached me, Edward, years ago, and I investigated them, and I had our staff do some work, and we found out that they are one of the few charities that puts most of the money back in to the children, and
yes,
instead of keeping it for themselves. And I said, all right, you know what? We will get involved, because, you know, the network gives me every commercial or every endorsement or anything I talk about on my own. I have the right to say if I want to do that or not. This is a wonderful network that gives me that opportunity. And so, you know, I could have passed on Children's International. And when they approached me and said, you know, would you like to help us? We said, yeah, let's investigate it. And if it works, it works. And I'm so happy that you're sponsoring. Five children is beyond the call of duty, Edward. So thank you.
Well, it's not so much that. It's just so much a joy, because people have to understand what these children face, the level of poverty that they face, and all if you just give them a chance.
Yes,
that's all. Exactly. That's all they need.
You know what? And they will remember you for the rest of their lives.
Well, that's not so they get a chance in life.
Good for you. You have a great Christmas, Edward.
Take care.
Okay, you got some magic about you. Yeah, you don't know half of the people that approach us for either endorsements or sponsorships or to get involved that we just simply pass on because we don't like it. And that, again, has anything to do with me attached to my voice. You know, I've got some leeway in terms of some of the sponsorships, for example, that I don't endorse. You know, if you hear voices of other people. But in some cases, I've had some of those tossed off the show as well. You know, this is your program. I want this to be your show. And that means with content and everything else. And, you know, we try to balance it. And tomorrow night as we sign off, I will mention the staff here at Coast to Coast along with tonight as well. We just have a great group of people who are dedicated to bringing you a quality program. It is not easy. You know, my producers, Lisa and Tom and Stephanie and Ann, it is not easy for them to balance supernatural shows and paranormal shows and medical shows and current shows. You know, we try to stay away from pure politics. You know, you're getting that every day. You're getting bombarded with that. So they have to balance this stuff. And then when Lisa calls me once a week and, you know, follows up on either, you know, my ideas or their own and says, what do you think of this one for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Then we have to start rearranging things and balancing things. I don't want three UFO shows in a row. You know, I don't want three health shows in a row. So it's a lot of work, and they're very dedicated. And they get this program on the air. And I am so happy that we've had this core staff now for so many years, and we've added to it. And they're just dedicated people. And we'll mention a few of their names when we wrap up tonight and tomorrow. Got a few more minutes to go before Lionel Fanthorpe comes in. So let's go to Barry. And let's go to Shane in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hey, Shane, welcome to the show.
Thanks, George. I got a miracle story for you, and one that also brought me back my own faith. I'm calling you from the Great White North here. We're buried, so I got nothing else to do but talk to you.
if I jump off, and it's not to be rude, but I'll have 3 minutes with you, and then we got to go to Lionel Fanthorpe. But go ahead.
I'll make it fast. In 1991, the matriarch of our family, my grandmother, who was a wonderful woman, passed away from stroke. 3 years later, I was sleeping one night, and I get a call from my dad that my brother had been in a car accident, had rolled his car and been thrown from the vehicle. He was unconscious most of the weekend and managed to come around by Monday morning. 2 weeks later, I was talking to my mom just at random and was telling her that it was really strange that they called, because right before Dad's call, I was having a dream of this gigantic room the size of an auditorium, and my brother was in there, and we didn't say anything to each other. But my grandmother suddenly appeared in the room and touched both of our faces And then when she touched my face again, that was when she woke, when I woke up and I got the phone call. I never mentioned this to my brother, and my mom never said anything to anybody else because my dad was not somebody who believed in this kind of thing, and my brother isn't either. Well, we were having a family dinner, and my brother was asked by another member of our family, does he remember anything from the time he was unconscious? And he said, you know, it was really weird. He said he had this dream that he was in this giant room, and I was there, and our grandmother came to us and stayed with him, because at one point he looked up and I had vanished, which I can only assume must have been the time I woke up.
Yeah.
And I just dropped my jaw, looked at my mom. My mom just was stunned because we never said anything to my brother. And he said, my brother said, I never really thought much about it, but it was just such a strange dream. I don't think there's much more proof of afterlife than that, because I don't think there's any coincidence on that situation.
No, it is real. And always just go look at that old movie, What Dreams May Come, with Robin Williams. I mean, that is another great indicator of dreams and the afterlife and what could very well be out there as well. Let's go to Janet in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Janet, we've got a minute left for you. Go ahead.
Okay, this is a quick one.
All right.
It's a miracle story. In the 60s, I was attacked by a man out in California. He never touched me, but he frightened me really bad with a knife. At that point, something happened to my soul, and it was gone for like 37 years. And what happened, I had developed multiple personalities, and my daughter was the one that found out as she was taking psychology at the University of Iowa. And as it turned out, I went to a psychoanalyst for 5 years. He never helped me. He just took my money. But I kept wondering if there was some way I could, I knew something was wrong with me. And I started meditating early in the morning from, like, I'm going to say anytime from 2 to 4.
Are you saying you cured yourself? You cured yourself, Janet?
And I did. And I'm saying this to you and all the Coast listeners, that if you practice meditation and you do it faithfully and turn your life around in the same way, try to be a better person, that some way you can heal yourself. It was a miracle for me.
And it's the best way to do it, Janet, and I do that all the time myself. Now, what would Christmas Eve be without the greatest storyteller ever born, Lionel Fanthorpe?
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When, out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When, what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver, so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away, all! As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof, As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled! His dimples, how merry! His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Jesse Angelo, Miranda Marino, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ann Lieberman, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, the folks at Network Operations, Lalo, Greg, and Billy, our affiliate relation folks, headed up, of course, with Peter Trippi and Evan. And then, of course, Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. That's our Christmas Day night show. Until then, be safe, everyone.